Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We've been talking about the different grounds, and we're looking at what they call the parable of the sower in Scripture. I have a friend of mine, I told you this last week, he calls it the parable of the ground, because really it's about the ground, it's not about the sower. And we've established several things about the parable of the sower. One is there's no problem with the seed. How many know there's no problem with the Word of God? There can be problems with the ground. The ground can have issues. And people say, who's the ground? It's us-ins. It's all of us. We're the ground. Now, the nice thing that the Lord has done is He's given us the ability to be able to control, to be able to manage the ground that we are. So you cannot read the parable of the sower and go, yeah, God in His sovereignty chose some people to be hard and chose some people to be full of stones and chose some people to be full of weeds. No, that's not what that's saying. What He's saying is this is the potential of what you can be if you don't manage what I've given you. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to learn spiritual principles, spiritual warfare principles, for lack of a better term, to be able to manage who you are as a person. And how many know that you're three parts? Paul revealed this to us. He told us that you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You are three parts. Your soul is comprised of your mind, will, and emotions. Most Christians get tangled in their mind. Listen to me. The Scripture says this, Paul got this revelation. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, right? Somebody say all. Old things have what? Passed away. So if I was to tell you that my grandfather passed away, what do you know? He's no longer here, right? He's in heaven now. He's not. So your old man died when you were born again, and you received all things became new, is what it says, and all things are of who? They're of God. Your spirit is right. Your head is not. Now, some believers' heads are better than others. Amen? It's true. If you don't believe that, just read through 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul dealt with this issue in that group. In fact, he deals with it all through the epistles, including the Johnine epistles and the others, Peter's epistles. They deal with thinking when it comes to Christians. You know, I heard a person say one time, I think the name of their message was Let My People Think. You know, as Pentecostals, sometimes people think, yes, we need to get rid of our mind. We need to just get that out of the way. If I could get my mind out of the way. No, the Bible doesn't say that you're transformed by the removal of your mind. It says the renewal of your mind. You have to have it renewed to the fact that on the inside of you right now is one-third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Or, if it's not, did Christ do an incomplete work? See, and people say, do you have to go that way? I'm trying to paint you into a corner. I'm not going to let you out till the service is over. Unless you just absolutely can't handle it. No, one-third of you is made in the image and likeness of God. It's the other third in the mind that can be affected. To be carnally minded is, people say, well, I just don't have a lot of life and peace. To be spiritually minded is, but it can't be that simple. It is just that simple. The enemy brings defeat to people's life through complication and twisting of truth. Truth, if you truly understand it and you're walking in it, is simple. If a subject is confusing to you and complicated to you, it means you don't understand it yet. Because when understanding comes, how many remember in school a teacher that just somehow was able to teach you things and it just stuck? It's probably because they understood it. They weren't just regurgitating information that they learned in college. They took time to look, to study, to put together, to prepare, to be able to deliver something in such a way that you'd be able to understand it. How many know that the Holy Spirit is called our teacher? You can understand. God can show you and open things up to you that you look at and go, I just don't get it. But Holy Ghost, show me what is being said here. And He can talk to you in any language. I'm talking about nationality too. Any language, doesn't matter. Any, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I had my grandparents, on my mom's parents, came over from Denmark and came to America. And my mom learned English here. Most English here, at least in America. And then when we'd go over to my, what you would call grandma and grandpa's house, we called Mumu and Muffa. Does that sound strange to you? It's mother's mother and mother's father. So Mumu and Muffa, we'd go over there. And when Mumu didn't want me to understand what she was saying to my mom, she'd speak in her native tongue. And I did not have the interpretation. But my mom understood what she was saying. And my mom, I would listen to them speak. My mom would respond in English to what she said to her in Danish or Norwegian or whatever it was. Isn't that interesting? So what's your point, preacher? My mom understood what was being said to her because she understood her mom's language. The Holy Spirit understands your... He can speak to you. God speaks mechanic. God speaks drywaller. God speaks taper, painter. God speaks pilot. God speaks genius, Neil. God speaks calculus. Not to me. But to Neil, yes. Not to me, though. Why? Because it won't do any good. He knows who He's dealing with in me and who He's dealing with in Neil. God speaks electric guitar to Matthew, but not to me. Why? It's not there. See, God knows where we're at, so there's no place that can't be opened up, cleared out in the soil, and become fruitful. Come on, listen to me, to a hundredfold. See, the promise is the word. All right, Matthew chapter 13, and then we'll hit this. So verse 18 says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So there's wayside ground. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. If you've found tribulation and persecution in your life, it's because the word is trying to be, the enemy's trying to remove the word. Don't ask God why it's there. Remove the stone. Stand your ground. Use your faith. Amen? Because you'll clear that ground out and you'll make a place for the root to find strength and depth down inside and moisture. Okay? So they stumble over tribulation and persecution. Verse 22. Now he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, look at this, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, there's a lot here I'm not going to be able to explain, but the whole series is available on the website. So you can go back or YouTube and you can watch it because it builds as we go. Skip down to verse 34. It says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that's where we got the title of the message, Before the Foundation. This is a truth that has been in place from before you and I existed here on earth. Amen. So, Last week, we began to look at the importance of watering the seed of the Word of God. And I want to continue along those lines this morning. We stated that good ground is found in a person who hears with the intent of understanding. It is a person who removes the stones of tribulation and persecution. It is a person who removes the weeds of worry, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, and the pleasures of this life. Good ground represents a person who not only removes these things from their garden, but also preserves the soil through continual watchfulness and maintenance of the ground. How many know that's true? Now I'm going to shoot some bullet points here at you, and I'm not going to preach on them in the name of Jesus. Okay, good ground will always ask the question, how is this going to affect my harvest of the Word of God? Woo, thank you, Lord. Always. God, listen to this, God will never lead people to do things that will leave deficits in their spiritual health and the spiritual health of their families. Praise the Lord, amen. If we tend to the garden of our lives with careless hands, we should not be surprised at poor harvests. Come on. Amen. Contrary to popular belief, the Word of God does not teach whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. That's in first imaginations. Just FYI. You know that. F.F. Bosworth said this in Christ the Healer, if all farmers treated their seed as millions of church members today treat God's imperishable seed, the world would starve to death. How do you like that? That's a thought. Actually, that's the truth. We would starve to death. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. This is where we were at last week. And I, brethren, Paul says, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. We looked at this. Guys, you can want understanding on a subject, but until you grow to the place where you can get it, you won't get it. People say, well, I'll just go on my own and I'll study it out. Unless the Lord knows that you can handle it, He will not choke you to death with spiritual depth. Come on. He won't. We have to grow. It's a must. You know, most churches that I know, most ministers that I know are not reading the scripture continually to their body. You know what I mean? They don't usually get up and go, y'all are a bunch of babies and you need to grow up. I really want to go preach on some things that I know, but I can't because you're still on the bottle. But essentially, what was that? That was what Paul was doing, correct? Because he had fed them truth, he left and then came back and thought, they haven't grown a bit. Can I ask you something? Would it bother you as a parent if your kid didn't grow when you were feeding him milk? We don't look at a baby and go, oh, that baby hasn't grown in a year and a half. It's okay. We know something's wrong, correct? Well, let me help you. In spiritual things, it's the same way. Well, I don't like that. But you want freedom, right? It's easier to run a marathon off a spaghetti dinner than it is a glass of milk. Strength comes out of what? Greater substance, nutrition value. Greater energy comes out of what? Greater substance or nutrition value. And in order to have that, there has to be what? Spiritual development, because you don't go to meet in the spirit by time alone. You have to respond and obey. People think, well, I've been saved for 40 years. You could be a 40-year-old baby spiritually. Guys, I love it, don't you? I mean, this word works for me just the same. Because I'm called to preach and anointed to preach doesn't mean I grow up spiritually automatically. I've met many preachers and been one of them that is a baby. Amen? It's just true. You can say amen on that because it's not for you, it's for me. Go ahead, just say amen on that one. Just say, grow up, Sean. Just grow up, would you? Nobody said it, not even one. Is there a bold soul among us? Listen, I tell, thank you, John. Thank you. I want to grow up. I don't want to remain a baby. I want to go into the deep things of God in relationship. I want to go deep. Which means what? Jesus said, come join me up on the cross. If you're like, I don't want to do that, but I want to grow up. And the Lord says, no. Will it just happen if I pray enough? No. You got to obey. Amen? You got to take those words, those truths, and obey. Praise God. I preached on it. I wasn't supposed to. For you are still carnal, for when there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Do you know what he's saying? Any unsaved person can act like the church is acting right now. Ooh, that's not good. We ought to be a level or two up. You should not have, mature believers do not have strife and division in their life. Amen. I'm not saying you can control everybody else around you. I'm saying you control you. As far as it is concerned with you, you walk in love and be at peace with all men. Amen? Well, they just won't change. Then they won't, and they'll be miserable. But I'm not joining in the misery. You know, people say, well, misery needs company. Again, that's not a scripture. You know, people say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're not an old dog. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can change by the power of the resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. I got to move on. Okay. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? For when one says, I am a Pentecostal and thou art a Baptist, you're my brother and you're my sister in the Lord if you're born again. Well, we don't agree on certain things. We will agree to disagree agreeably, and we will walk in love. Especially in this house. Why? Because I'm not going to kill my brother. I heard Jesse Duplantis say this one time. He said, we've become good sons and daughters, but poor brothers and sisters. That's not okay. Unity is going to have to happen over the love and the respect that we have for our Savior. Amen? I believe it will. The Lord prayed it before he went to heaven, so his prayers get answered. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos what? Watered, but God gave the increase. So watering has to do with furnishing drink or to irrigate, to give drink. And we talked about this, the importance of watering, and you can write this down. One of the main things you're going to need to do is meditate the word. Meditate the word. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? Meditates day and night. Meditate means to imagine, to speak, to talk, to study, to muse, to devise, or to plot. You need to plot the word of God in your life. You know, most people think, they think of a plot, they think of the plot of the movie, or they think of somebody devising a plan for evil. But you know, devising in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It's just whatever you put into it. So studying, muttering, meditating, notice that meditating, thinking, devising, looking at who you are in Christ leads to speaking. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Leaketh. Speaketh. You ever said something and go, I can't believe I said that? What have you been meditating on? What have you been meditating on? Okay? You need to have a full heart, and out of a full heart comes a proper declaration of faith. You know, I'm a Word of Faith guy. I graduated from the Word of Faith camp. Okay, Rhema Bible Training College, Kenneth E. Hagin's, my spiritual father. And people have made fun of the Word of Faith for years. But the reality is, if you look at the scripture, I don't just, and people think, well, you can just say whatever you want, no, you have to believe in your heart. And those who make fun of the Word of Faith got born again by it. Because you believed in your heart and the power of life and death was in your heart. You spoke. And people say, well, it turned into rituals. It did. But how many denominations have turned into rituals that started out with revivals? That's prophetic. If you feel dry in your relationship, you need to get full of water. You need to meditate on what the Lord said about you and then begin to what? Speak. You will speak. You don't even have to try. You'll speak from it. You know, people say, yeah, you need to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and make melody in your heart. If your heart is full of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it will come out. You'll speak. It will. It automatically will. If your heart is full of airplanes, it'll come out. If your heart is full of football teams, it'll come out. It'll come out. Everything that you're full of, and not those things aren't bad necessarily. You know what I mean? I'm not against any of them. But the thing is what do you want to be? There should be some word in there. Amen. And when it comes out of a place of fullness, of meditation, of muttering, of devising, of looking at, of planning, of studying, it comes with faith. How many think if you got full of the word, you'd be full of faith? Because faith comes by, and hearing by the. People say, I just weaken that area in faith. You need to feed on that area. I just don't have any more joy. You need to feed on joy scriptures. You meditate them. You say, what do you mean by meditate? I take the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm not convincing my heart. The word of God is convincing enough. I'm just getting my mind to line up with what my heart already knows. And then my mouth will speak from that place. And as I do what? I'm watering while I'm meditating. And what do I get? Oh, I feel 30% more joy. I feel 60-fold more joy. Then one day you're at 100-fold joy. When you're at 100-fold joy, what does everybody get around you? Joy. Overflow. It's joy and full of. See, the thing is that the preacher's not just supposed to carry that. The church is. You're called to carry it. Well, I can't preach. I can't do that. You may not be called to stand here, but you're called to stand in your world as a witness and a light. You, everybody go like this. You have hands. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you don't have hands, we'll pray for you. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? You qualify. Why? You got a talent. There it is. There it is right there. Who gave you that? God. God gave it to you. Meditate. Study. You want to study the scripture. People say, I don't know about study. No, you want to study the scripture. Meditate means to meditate. It means to moan or growl or utter or speak. I like the growl. I thought, my goodness, that's in vines. I'm a growl. God, devil, you. But then I remembered too, he's the lion of the tribe of. Yeah. The devil comes against you and you've been meditating, and then comes out of you. Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You. The devil goes, we better go. Come on. What does the Bible say? You resist him and he. Please. Come on. When the devil comes against you, you go, here's your word, devil, flee. This is your word. This is mine over here. I don't know what you're talking about over there, but I'm the resist guy over here. And you're going to flee because the script says so. Right. And I'm not even standing in my own power. I'm not even standing in my own might. I don't even have to come up with the strength. I'm resting in the grace. Whew. Boy, that was a good one. I could feel that one go all the way through me. Joshua 1:8 talks about this. The Lord told him to what? He said, meditate in the word what? Day and night. And you'll make your way what? Successful. Notice that Joshua still had fights. But how are you going to have a victory without a war? Listen, you need to get this settled in your mind. Stop wishing all the problems would go away and start faithing through them. If you want the problems to go away, die. That's mean. No. It's the truth. The problems will end when you get to heaven. They will, because there's no devil there. So you have that right to go there, but I recommend you finish the course first. That's just my personal, and people say, have you ever felt like dying? Of course I have. I'm just like you. I have feelings and emotions. People say, oh, the preacher's depressed. No, I ain't depressed. I don't go there. Have you ever felt feelings of depression? Absolutely. What do you do with them? I don't yield to them. And even if I found myself yielding to them for maybe a while, I go, what am I doing? The Lord said, yeah, what are you doing, boy? Okay, we got to grab hold of the sword, grab the shield. Let's get after this. Let's get the joy back, amen, to where it should be in manifestation. Why? Because I got a bright future ahead of me. It's so bright, I have to wear sunglasses. Shades. I got to wear shades. The good ones, not the cheap ones. Why? Because you got to have them polarized. Why? Have you ever been in a bright sunny day, but it's snowed for days? Whoo, and that light comes off that. It's brighter than that. That's my future. You say, yeah, but you know, there's a lot going on in the world. Yep. And when it's all said and done, the meat suit will fall off and I'll go to heaven. You say, the meat suit? Yeah, that's my body. See, you think you're looking at me. You're not. You're just looking at my house. My house needs to lose a little weight, but it'll be all right. So, it all goes to dust anyway, so praise the Lord. The person that meditates in the word day and night, verse 3, Psalm 1:3, says this, he shall be like a tree planted by the what? Rivers of water. You got rivers of water that you're planted next to when you're meditating in that word. Does that sound like watering? Now look at the promise here that brings forth fruit in its, whose leaf does not, and whatever he does. Wow. Man, Lord, you're better to me than I'd be to myself. All I have to do is continue to water the seed. And then once it grows into the stalk, and let's look at that real quick. We got to wrap this up. I'm over time, but you're learning something, right? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to look at all the words. I could give you all the scriptures on meditation, but there's a lot of them. And so, and it's interesting because as I was looking at them, some of them translate to thinking and meditating or mulling over. Some of them translate to speaking. It's translated in the New King James or the King James as speaking or talking. So talking and meditation, thinking and meditation, all these things are tied together. Okay? And they all go together. And so if you find yourself muttering things that aren't life, it means you have something in you, in your soul, that's not life. You've allowed other things to crowd out the word. That's where we're talking about trials, tribulations, different things that try to bring in stones or weeds into the garden of your life. You've got to cut those things out through feeding on the word, speaking the word, let the word transform your mind. Don't try and force transformation. Just in submission to the word, believe that the Holy Spirit and the word of God are doing their job in your mind. Yes. It'll work. His word always works. Amen? Amen. It always works. So Paul said this. He said in Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. People say, well, I can't think on these things. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, you can think on these things. In fact, if you look at this, he says this, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and God and the God of peace will be what? With you. And what I believe that means is, because we know the Lord doesn't leave us or forsake us, what it means is he's going to manifest his presence through your being. Well, I don't know if I can walk in peace like that. The Lord says you can, even if, come on, this is the book of Philippians. Where was it written from? Prison. your joy, your peace, your serenity, your rightness of mind, your hundredfold return off the seed is not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent on who's in you and your cooperation with Him. That's where it comes from. That place. Your circumstance, out of that, then circumstances can change. Amen? And do change. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those are all good things. Study. Okay? You need to study. The heart, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. What does that sound like? Meditation and speaking. You see that? Studies. If people, sometimes they think you can't study. You can study the Word. I'm not telling you that you could. I mean, the revelation of what you're studying has to come from the Holy Spirit. And I understand that. But the Lord chose to put who He is in word form. Right? So that means out of that we can gain, there's this relationship that's taking place. I don't read my Word out of ritualism. Do you know I never sit down and read and don't get something new? I said I never sit down and read and don't get something new. Have you ever felt like I never sit down and read and don't get something new. I never sit down and read and faith is not imparted. Because faith comes by and hearing by the Word of God. What did you say? You read it out loud? Yep. Not always, but I will. Why? I need to hear it. Well, it's just your voice. No, it's just the seed of the Word of God. And I'm not speaking my words. You need to understand. Understanding means to put together or to set together. It means studying Scripture, especially by topic, is meditation in that the Scriptures on any subject begin to put together or form the image of truth you are studying. Scripture, when you study it and you put it together by topic, begin to form the image of truth in your mind. There's a transformation that takes place. In other words, when you study about peace, peace begins to establish strength through renewal of your mind in your mind. Now you're not just having the fruit of peace through the born again of experience in your spirit. Your mind is now in line with your spirit. And when that happens, there begins to be a growth that takes place through the seed being planted, then the seed being watered, and then as it increases and increases and increases, peace comes to the place that it goes from 30-fold harvest to 60-fold harvest to 100-fold harvest. And when you are full of something and you image something according to the Word of God, then you begin to speak something. And we know that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we know from the book of James that that tongue is like a rudder. And you'll begin to talk yourself through situations in complete peace. Oh, yeah. We're in a flow now. Come on. My grandpa used to say, saying hallelujah or amen to a preacher is like saying sick'em to a dog. When we were growing up, we had a dog named Bo growing up. His name was Bo. He was a golden retriever. He's a good dog. And my older brother is very creative. Tobin. Hope he doesn't watch this one. I'll get in trouble. Tobin. He says... growing up, he would give nicknames to, like, my youngest brother's nickname was Bubs. He didn't call him Christopher, he called him Bubs. And so what did we call him? Bubs. And the dog's name was Bo, but he nicknamed him Woofus. So what did we call him? Woofus, right? Because he just always did that. He was always that way. Well, we had cats. And a dog. And those cats, they were great cats. One of them was mine. But we taught Woofus, Bo, to go after the cats by going, sk-sk. We'd hold on to his collar. And he'd be, you know how dogs are, you know. He never caught the cat, okay. Just for all you that are concerned. We didn't let him kill the cats, you know. So whenever we would say, just like that, and he would, if he was laying down sleeping, he would jump up and begin to look around, just like that. You got to be so full, so watered, so harvested, that when you hear, where's he at? I'm ready. Let's get him. Water, study, meditate. Amen? The seed will grow. Guys, if you don't see the fullness of it yet, go. In fact, there's a scripture, and I'm just going to give it to you. It's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. But Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And the verse 28 says this, "For the earth yields crops by itself." Listen, first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. In the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, "All by itself it sprouts, and the soil produces a crop. First the green stem, then the head of the stalk, and then the fully developed grain in the head. Then when the grain is ripe, he immediately puts the sickle to the grain because harvest time has come." Listen, if you've been sowing in an area in the Word, or whatever the case may be, in any promise, don't quit, because you could have a green stem going right now. You could have a green stem with just a leaf coming off of it right now. Keep watering and feeding and meditating and thinking about and speaking about what God has said about you. Not somebody else's opinion, not what the circumstance looks like, but what the Word of God says about you. And as you do, it is growing. The soil will do its job. The seed will do its job. You do yours. Amen? Would you stand, please? Judy, if you'd come. Hallelujah. Did you get anything? Praise God. I just want to give an altar call this morning for several things, but just I want to give an altar call. And make ministry time available to those who need it. And then if people do respond and come up, we just ask that you be respectful while you're in here, just quiet or whatever, or be in faith, pray about it. Or you can also go out into the lobby if you'd like. But I just want to do this morning. If there's anybody in here and you need, I want to make give you three options here. If you need prayer for healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you just need the prayer of agreement, is there anybody in here by show of hand? Okay, there's at least one, if there's anybody else. The other, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is this, of course, salvation. If you're not born again, or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You know, it's easy to allow life to drag you in its current. I've heard it said this way, any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to swim upstream. But you need to know that you know today that you're born again, and that when you die, you're going to heaven, not hell. Because this is the crux of the situation right here. This is the biggest deal right here. The other blessings are great, and they're godly, and they're right. But this is eternity at stake for you. And you need to know that you know you're born again. You need to know that you know that when you die, when you pass from this life, you will go to heaven. I want to give you that opportunity. Whether you've never been born again before, or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, would you raise your hand right now, wherever you're at, so I can see it? Lift it up high. Praise God. I'm going to give people an opportunity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to go ahead and presume that everybody here is born again and they know it. Hallelujah. Now, if you didn't and you were too embarrassed to raise your hand, you need to strengthen up and come see me right afterwards, and we'll take care of you. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you material that will help you in your walk with the Lord. If you're watching online and you're not born again, you need Jesus in your life. You need him in your life. Your eternity is at stake. And if that's the case and you're not born again, if you message us on Facebook, we can get back to you. We'll get material to you if you need it. We'll pray with you. We'll minister to you. So don't neglect that. Contact us if you would. So with that being said, you, those of you who raised your hand for healing or for baptism of the Holy Spirit or prayer of agreement, would you just come? You want to go ahead and come and just line up for me here on either side here. Ushers, if you want to help me, please. We're going to pray for them, but I'm going to pray for everybody else and release those who need to go. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We thank you that you're so good to us, Father. We thank you that you're faithful to us, Father. Lord, I thank you that your seed has been planted in the hearts of these many people. And Father, we are believing with them for watering and harvest and strength and growth in their lives. Lord, we're believing with them for 30, 60-fold and 100-fold harvests in their lives as they follow and obey you. Our faith is with them, and I thank you that you have encouraged them and that they are going to go forth and use their faith for themselves and then with somebody else as they get stronger as well. We believe you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. I'll release you. I'm going to go ahead and minister to these here. Praise God.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.